forget your troubles for just a while. So gather round and settle down. We got rhythm and rhyme. It's comedy time.
Hi, friends. This is Nifty Russell for Social Security. The friendly folks with the friendly suggestions for now and for the future. It's comedy time, and today we're going to hear from two of the all-time great comedians, Abbott and Costello. But before we hear from Abbott and Costello, I've got something important to tell you about Social Security. I was thinking about all the information I've been passing along to you about Social Security, and something suddenly hit me. That little Social Security card is a mighty important little piece of cardboard, and you ought to take care of it. Now, the folks at Social Security say that you should detach the stub from your card and put it in a safe place. If you don't have the stub, write the number down and put that away. Then, if you lose your card, all you have to do is send Social Security your number, and you'll get a duplicate card with the same number on it. Because you use the same Social Security number your entire working life. And all your earnings get credited to that one number. And that keeps your earnings record straight when you apply for benefits. So play it smart. Take care of your Social Security card, and someday it will take care of you. And now for a few minutes of history that very few will ever forget. Bud Abbott, Lou Costello.
Hey, Abbott!
What do you want, Costello?
Hello, Abbott. I understand that you're going to be the manager of the Lou Costello Jr. Youth Foundation baseball team.
Yes, we just organized the thing.
Oh, you did?
Sure.
Well, I'd like to play on the team myself. You know, I know something about baseball.
Well, that would be accomplished.
Well, I'd like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in the ballpark, I'll be able to say hello to them.
Quite silly. I'll introduce you to the boys. But you know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Nicknames, pet names, like Dizzy Dean.
Spell it Daffy?
Daffy Dean.
And I'm their French cousin.
French cousin?
Gouffet.
Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
What silly name? I say who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
Have you got a first baseman?
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Now tell me who's on first.
That's right.
I want to know what's the guy's name on first.
No, what's on second
I'm
base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not asking third.
How did I get on third base?
You have to mention his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third
no,
base?
No, who is playing first?
I'm not asking you who's on first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you what's the guy's name on third.
What is on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go. Back on third again.
I can't change their name.
You got a first baseman?
Absolutely.
When you pay him off every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Jury does.
Name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. Now, you know these plays as well as I do.
You got a catcher?
Surely.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today, and tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
Now I've got it. Right. I don't even... Look, we got us a couple of days on it.
I can't help that.
A couple of days.
Don't get excited,
though. Who's your next side,
Andy? Take it easy.
You know, I'm a pretty good catcher myself.
Well, tell me.
Now, I'll catch today myself.
All right.
Catch. Yes. And tomorrow's pitching on a team.
Yes.
Now, tomorrow throws the ball and the guy up bunts the ball.
Yes.
Now, when he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'll throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Naturally. Oh, so I throw the ball to naturally.
You do nothing of the kind. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't.
Did I throw the ball to naturally?
But you don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
That way.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
You ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well,
same as you. I throw the ball to who?
And who could ask for anything more in comedy? Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye on Comedy Time for the good people at Social Security. But like I say each week, we'll be back next week. More laughs and information about your rights and benefits under Social Security. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell, who loves you. Bye now. Well, I hope you listened carefully to me. And now, let's eavesdrop on old Bill Cosby.
I sure would love to own and train a gorilla. No, really, a really big gorilla. Really big nasty, dirty. I ain't going to clean them up, not make them take bath, let them have lice and fleas and all kind of bugs on them, because he's going to protect my house. And think of the thrill some dude's going to get coming in my window, going to get my furniture, when he turns around and there's a 6'9", 840-pound gorilla with lice and fleas and all kinds of things going to kiss him to death. And have three little pigs following the gorilla wherever he goes. Didn't you hear this dude's story in jail when the guy said, well, how'd you get busted? You ain't going to believe this, but I broke in this guy's house and there's this gorilla with lice and fleas and three pigs following. You're in the wrong place, fellas.
Or else another cool thing to have to protect your home, if you could train them, would be 2 75-foot pythons. Now, that is cool, man. I mean, to have these two cats propped up and they just...
Hey, Arthur? Yeah? Let's go.
And that's all you hear. You can't hear a snake. You know, because they got them little feet. See? People are afraid of snakes. I'm not. I turned one over one time. They got little teeny feet with sneakers and stuff all under them. Really. And you see them, and they just... And they, see, they don't look like they're really hustling, but you watch. And a snake, if you turn his feet just going fast. There's little people all underneath them, little ants carrying them everywhere they go. It's really hip, man. Snakes are cool.
And that's it for this week. Another 5 minutes of comedy time. Laughs and facts from Social Security. The good people who want to help you. So give them a ring. Until next week, this is Nipsey Russell for Social Security. I love you. And now let's listen to Bill Cosby.
Oh, yes. I was an only child for 7 years. And I really enjoyed it. I was 7 years old. I was really having a groovy time. And when I was seven, I remember, like, everything. I was concerned with things that are cool, whatever is cool. And I remember one day my mother coming up to me, and she says, you know, you're Protestant. I said, yeah. What month? She said, no, it has nothing to do with how old you are, nothing like that. You know, she says, Protestant is a part of faith, you're Methodist, you know. And she said, that's what you are. And I said, well, you know, I mean, is it cool? And she said, well, yes, it's cool. I said, well, what do Protestants say anything cool, Mom? And said, yes, they say amen. I said, amen. Amen. That's really cool, man. And I went outside just saying, amen, you know. And I looked it over at Harold. He was standing out there. I said, hey, Harold, I'm a Protestant. He said, yeah, amen. So we started walking down the street just collecting Protestants. Amen, you know. And so then Harold and I, we went in and our mothers taught us a prayer, you see, when we were kids. And I'm sure the parents don't think when they teach you this prayer. Because when you're a kid, see, monsters live in your bedroom closet. I had 6 monsters lived in my bedroom closet, and thank goodness for covers, or else I would never have been alive today. Covers saved my life. My mother saved me a couple of times. She played the game, you know. My monster's after me! You know, with the lights out, she'd come and get out of here, and they'd go in the closet. My father didn't like the game at all. It's bad monsters! Let them eat you up. So then I had to go to the covers, Jack, when they'd come at me. Right on the chair, pull them covers over my head. Stay under there all night long. Because she says, monsters wait for you to come out, see? Then they start walking around the bed, you know. They can't touch covers. There's something magical about covers. They can't touch it. But they know, you know, they say, you got to breathe sometime, kid. You know. But I was the fastest breather on earth, man. I'd take them covers, lift them up just a little crack. He's been coming right back up again, Jack. Yeah. Now, with that in mind, with six monsters in the closet in mind, and fear in your heart, when you kneel down to say your prayers, why give a kid a prayer like, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep"? Mind you, it's all right up to that point. But then when you come to the line, "If I should die before I wake..."
Oh, no, I'm not going to sleep tonight, that's all.
Thanks, Bill, and thanks, folks. That's it for Comedy Time this week from Social Security. But we'll be back next week with more funnies and more facts about Social Security. This is Nipsey Russell saying so long till then. Okay, some comedy from some old-timers, Fred Allen and Jack Benny.
Benny was born ignorant, and he's been losing ground ever since. Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy. Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedian. Tell some cheap joke. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Well, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Tonight was my last show of the season.
Did your sponsor mention anything about your program coming back in October?
Well, no, Fred, but we have a mutual understanding. You see, we always sort of take it for granted.
Oh.
The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yikes!
Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
Cheer up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean to stay on the air, you have to give things away?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
Well, Fred, as long as I'm here in the studio...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition.
I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, let's try out my new show.
Here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. And here is our first eager contestant. Your name, sir?
Myron Proudfoot.
You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friends. Start giving things away, brother.
Thank you, folks, for tuning in. I hope you'll tune in again next week when we'll be back with more comedy and more information on your Social Security benefits. Social Security is for your benefit. And this is Nipsey Russell saying, take care, because I love you. Bye-bye. Okay, Bill, talk to the people.
Old Weird Harold and I. Old Weird Harold, we called him that because he was 6'9", weighed 50 pounds. We used to use him to get the football out of the sewer. We used to go to every horror picture in the world. I'm telling you, right now, we would go and we would see Frankenstein. We'd walk 100 miles to see Frankenstein. And mind you, we never saw the monster once. Never saw him once because we were too scared to look at him. And we had the best seats in the movie. We used to sit right up front. I mean, right up front. That's where you can see everything. You just look right up front there. And we'd say to each other, "You going to look at the monster this time?"
Yeah.
"No, don't lie now. If you're not going to look at it, say that. You might as well get right on the floor now if you're not going to look at it. You didn't look at him the last time." "Yes, I did. Don't lie." "Look out." That's where we stayed for 12 days. Used to go home with 100 black juju fruits all on our backs. Yeah. We used to stay over and over and over trying to get to see the monster, but we couldn't do it. We were too scared.
And my mother used to come for me. Will you come home? Get up off the floor and come home. You know, and the guys would rather,
hey, Cos, your mom came for you again.
You shut up. So my mother said one day, she said, I'm not coming for you. That's all. You know, you'll come home yourself. Walk under 9th Street Bridge in the dark by yourself if you don't know how to come home. Oh, Mom, you come home for us. So we're watching this one picture. And it was a heck of a picture. It was one of the greatest. They had Frankenstein, Wolfman, Dracula, the Hunchback, the Mummy. Everybody was in it. And Harold and I stayed on that floor. Eyes were closed all day. We never came up one time for air. Every time there was somebody on that screen we didn't want to see. The Mummy's in there now. Oh, we don't want to look. We don't want to look. And we sat through about 12 showings of the same picture. You going to look this time? No. Get up off the floor. No, I ain't getting up nowhere. It ain't going to get me. So, finally, during the cartoon, I got up and I looked around. And I said, hey, Harold, there's nothing here but grown-ups. And Harold said, yeah. Because that's what he always says whenever I'm right. He's my closest friend, you know. I said, ask that man what time it is. Hey, mister! What time is it? It's 10 o'clock. Oh, Harold. Oh, Harold, we're in trouble. 10 o'clock, yes. 10 o'clock, that's when the monsters come out.
All right, Bill. All right, folks. That's it for now. Well, we'll be back next week. More comedy and more information about your rights and benefits under the big S, Social Security. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell saying so long. Now, what do you say, Uncle Milty?
I say, miss, I'd like a book.
A what?
A what? A book, a book. Two covers with pages.
You'll have to leave, sir. You're making too much noise. 16 library users must maintain absolute quiet.
All I want is a book, young lady. My 3 years with Eisenhower by Captain Harry Butcher.
Yes, sir. It's right here on our current book rack. Here you are.
Thank you. I'll take it along.
One moment, please. You'll have to check the book out. Who is it for?
M. Burrell.
I'll see if you're listed.
I'm not listed here.
Oh, you haven't a library card?
What's a library card?
Oh, you have to have a card.
Okay, then give me a card. I can play along with a game.
You'll have to fill out this form. Two of these, six of these in triplicate, four of
Wait
these...
Wait a minute. Whoa. All I want is a book, not a personal loan. It'll take me a week to fill these out, and all I want is a book.
You'll have to leave, sir. You're too noisy. Rule 16, stay...
How can I get a card?
You can obtain a library card by having this form signed by a property owner, or being a property owner yourself, or if your name is listed in the telephone directory, or if 16 character witnesses vouch for you.
Now, look, all I want to do is read a book. I am not running for Congress.
I'm sorry, I'll have to take that book. Those are the rules.
Those are the rules, sir. Well, let me tell you something.
You have to leave, sir.
All right. It's okay, I'm leaving. I'll beat the system if it takes me 10 years. How do you do, miss?
Anything I can do for you, sir?
Oh, no. Remember me, Burl, the guy who couldn't take out a book?
The public library is available to all, rich and poor, well and sick, yeah, old and young. Yeah.
Well, I came in to tell you that I now have a telephone. It was a tough job getting one. I had to tell him I was a bookie. Now, can I have my card?
What was the name?
M. Burl. The book is My 3 Years with Eisenhower by Captain Harry Butcher.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burrell, but your name isn't listed in the telephone directory.
Of course it isn't. I just got the phone yesterday.
Rule 45 states you must be listed in the telephone directory, have a property owner sign, own a home...
But you said if I had a...
Why, you'll have to leave, sir. Rule 16.
All right. I'll get that card if it takes me until next Christmas. Merry Christmas, miss.
Merry Christmas, sir. Is there anything I can do for you?
Oh, no. I just dropped in to tell you I bought a house.
Huh? standard wrap-up time for this week. The wrap-up of Comedy Time from the good folks at Social Security. We'll be back next week with more of the same. I hope you'll tune in. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell saying bye for now and take care. You hear? That's enough about work. Let's have a little fun. Here's Bill Cosby.
I don't like old people, see, especially when it comes to sports. I play at the Y quite a bit, see, and I don't like old guys. I like the Y because it doesn't cost a lot of dough, but the old people always over there want to play on your team. And I don't like them on my basketball team. They're the last guys down on the fast break. They keep forgetting how to make a figure eight, keep making threes. They forget your name a lot. They're just no fun. I mean, they go half court and then they stop. And they want a halftime after they get a rebound. And they shoot and grab the side and all things like that. I just don't care for them. This one time I was playing handball. We have four-wall court in the Y. And I love to play in the Y, mainly because they don't allow any cursing. You'd be surprised how that speeds the game up. And I was playing some handball just by myself, waiting for some young guys to come, you know. And this old man came on my court. I mean, really old, like... So old, he had on the original Y uniform with the Hebrew letter Y on his shorts.
How about the game?
You gotta be nice to old people. They ain't gonna be here too long or nothing like that. So you be nice to them. You say, okay, Pop, go ahead. Here you are. We'll play. Just you and I. You go ahead and serve. And I showed them to the line. And Pop, you know, his old gloves with hair on them and everything. And he served. And I went back and let one go about half speed. This old man don't want to give him a cardiac arrest or nothing. I let one go. And he just looked and saw it hit on the front wall, didn't pay any attention to it, and walked over to a spot, and just where he stopped, that's where the ball bounced. Didn't even move his arm, just hit it with his wrist. This far from the floor. Looked around at me and said, one, nothing.
And it's time to say goodbye on this week's edition of Comedy Time. But we'll be back with more next week. That is, more laughs and more information about your rights and benefits under Social Security. So make a note to listen in. I'll be talking to you. This is Nipsey Russell, and I love you. Bye now. Okay, Bob. Okay, Ray. Tell the people what you got to say.
And now, friends, we present the program that reenacts historical events as though they were happening today. Bob and Ray was there. We take you now to Promontory Point, Utah, and ace correspondent Chet Sturdley.
This is Chet Sturdley at Promontory Point, Utah. For weeks, the track laying crews from the west and the track laying crews from the east have been laying track. And they're now only 1 mile apart. When they meet here at Promontory Point, the tracks will be joined by a golden spike. And while we're waiting for the crews to meet, let's switch to ace correspondent Chet Ormsby.
This is ace correspondent Chet Ormsby. I'm stationed at the point where the tracks will be joined in the Iron Horse Bar and Grill. Beside me is Mr. Patrick Hammerhead McGonagall, the man who's been chosen to drive the golden spike. Mr. McGonagall, will you tell us how you came to be chosen for the great honor of driving the golden spike?
Well, I was working on the track yesterday, and the foreman comes up to me, and he says, hey, McGonagall. And I says, yeah. And he says, you doing anything tomorrow? And I says, no. And he says, okay, you drive the golden spike.
Well, thank you, Mr. McGonagall. And now we switch you to Chet Sturdley for a report on the progress of the track-laying crews.
This is Chet Sturdley again at Promontory Point. The track layers are half a mile apart now. They're running neck and neck. And for more details, here's Ace Correspondent Chet Harper.
Now, this is Ace Correspondent Chet Harper. I am in the signal tower at Steve Canyon, Nevada. And now back to Chet Sturdley.
Thanks, Chet, for that colorful description. The track layers are coming into the stretch now. Maybe you can hear them in the background. They're approaching the finish line. They're still 2 feet short of the finish line. Not enough track. And while we're waiting for them to send for more track, I'm going to interview some of this great crowd which has gathered to watch the driving of the Golden Spike. Here's an Indian chief coming toward me in full regalia. Chief, will you tell us what you think of the Iron Horse?
Iron Horse, bad medicine.
What would you consider a good medicine?
Milk of magnesia.
Pardon me, friends, this is the big moment we've all been waiting for. Mr. McGonagall, the spike driver, is stepping into position. He's grasping the Golden Spike in his left hand. There goes the hammer.
Ow!
Well, it's too bad he hit his thumb, but he's trying again. And he did it. The Golden Spike is driven, and here come the trains, one from the east and one from the west. Yes, the trains are speeding to the meeting point at this very moment. They're getting closer. 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 They're about to meet. And... they did meet.
And it's wrap-up time for this week. The wrap-up of Comedy Time from the good folks at Social Security. We'll be back next week with more of the same. I hope you'll tune in. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell saying bye for now and take care. You hear? I don't know if it's Fat Albert or Old Weird Harold, but let's listen to see what Bill Cosby's subject is today.
I joined the Navy, and I became a medic, hospital corpsman. I was very proud. Instant doctorship. That's what it is. In 6 weeks, you can operate on people, give them needles, kill them, you know, that kind of thing. You know, you pronounce people dead. You're dead. Thanks a lot. Get out of here. And I never forget, when I graduated from hospital corps school, an order came through sending me to the Fleet Marine Force. This means I am going to be a medic. I was very proud of it because I know that I read the Geneva Convention. There's a small print and everything that says, in the Geneva Convention, you cannot shoot a medic. And they're very happy about the whole thing. You know, they give you anatomy in one day. You know, here's the body. Look at it. Remember it. All right, next shot. You know, that kind of thing. And so they give you a helmet with a big red cross on it, see? And then they give you a jersey with a big red cross on it. This is so when the enemy sees the red cross, they don't shoot at you. See, they just red. There's a guy with a red cross. Don't hit him. You know, in times of war, they do that. See, don't throw that hand grenade over there. There's a guy with a red cross. What's wrong with you? You know, that kind of thing. See, so they do that, see, don't they? So they're nice about it. So we're really proud of that. We did get shot down. You know, that's wonderful. So then they show us the real movie as we're about to go to war, just before we land. I want to show you this picture here. You'll notice that the corpsmen are dropping like flies. That's because the enemy is not upholding the Geneva Convention, you know, and they said the first thing they try and get actually is the hospital corpsman, and actually the lifespan of a hospital corpsman from the time his foot hits the water to the time he almost gets to the beach is 7 seconds. And, you know, the corpsmen are scrambling after that. Give me some steel wool. Get this red cross off of here. You know, anybody want to buy a helmet with a red cross on it? You know, for a gun? How about some morphine? Take this helmet for some morphine. You know. So I was aware of this. You know, I was really frightened. And I said, gee whiz, I said, I hope they don't get me, you know. And I run. They let down the thing, you know. Bang! First thing I did, man, was scurry to the beach, you know. Jump in a foxhole. Safe! I'm not moving. I'm sorry, I'm not moving. Five guys with me, and we're having fun. We're watching the war, you know. Nice war going on, yeah.
Doggone. That's all the time we have this week. But we'll be back next week with more fun and more facts from Social Security. I'll be talking to you. Bye now. Nipsey Russell loves you. And now we're going to hear from Sanford and Son.
How you feeling, son? I feel terrible, Papa. I got butterflies in my stomach and my heart's pounding, and I can't keep my hands still.
Well, it serves you right. The whole thing is ridiculous. It won't work. I'll give it 2 weeks.
Now, don't start that, Pop. You've been against this thing ever since I told you I was going to get married.
Who, me?
Yes, you. If I listened to you, I'd never get married. You just don't want me to get married. That's what it is.
Well, you hardly know the girl. How long y'all been going together?
2 months? So what? How long did you go with Mama?
2.5 years.
Oh.
That's right. I lived with your Mama 2.5 years before I kissed her on the cheek. That was on New Year's Eve. At 12 o'clock. Straight up. In the dark.
Yeah, well, we do things a lot faster today, and I don't want to talk about that. Pop, have you got the ring?
Yeah, I got the ring.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. What's the matter with you?
Where is it?
I had it right here in the
window. Pop, I gave you that ring last night. Now, you lost that ring.
It's settled down. Here's the ring right here. I got it wrapped up here in this handkerchief.
Would you take it out of that handkerchief? That's got to go on her finger.
Well, I bet you my handkerchief just clean as her finger.
Would you just hold on to that ring? Pop, where's the cab? Where's the taxi?
I called them.
Well, call them again. They're not here yet. They should have been here.
I called them hours ago.
Get in there and call them again. Everything goes wrong. I can marry
you.
Taxi's not even here.
I got to marry
you. Hurry up. Pop, tell them it's an emergency, all right?
I'll tell them. Just hold on. Hello? Yeah, is this a taxi cab coming? Yeah, well, this is Fred Sanford calling. That's S-A-N-F-O-R-D, period. Yeah, listen, I called for a cab about an hour ago, and so far, there's no cab come yet. Huh? Hey, listen, is this a white cab coming? Oh, y'all don't have to worry no more. Everything is cool now. No, look, if you don't want to stop, just slow down. We'll get in.
They ain't gonna come. What are we gonna do, Pop?
Everything will be all right.
Everything goes wrong. What are we gonna do?
Well, listen, we'll take the truck.
The truck? We're not gonna take this old broken down truck onto my wedding day.
What's wrong with that?
Everybody be laughing at us, Pop.
They won't laugh. We'll park the truck over there by Mama's kitchen, around the corner.
Okay, we've done it again, and that does it for Comedy Time. Comedy Time from Social Security this week. There'll be more next week, I promise. So tune in and learn more about your benefits under Social Security. I'll be talking to you, so give a listen. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell. Bye-bye. Did you get what I said? Okay, now let's get what Flip's got to tell us.
I'm Mr. Stiggins, yes. Whom are you?
I am him. I am Geraldine Jones. I'm the replacement for the old chick.
No, this is our Miss Pettiflew, yes. Well, if you're the replacement, I guess we want to get to know each other. She'll show you where things are around here.
If it's going to make me look like her, I don't want to know.
Stiggins, yes? I'll be with this young lady.
lady won't do, even if it means foregoing my vacation.
Well, now, Miss Pettigrew, let's not jump to conclusions. Why, the young lady's just got here. Let's give her a chance.
You don't have to apologize to that little old broad for me. I take care of myself. I got it together, honey. You know, you're kind of cute. I like you.
Now, is it Miss Jones?
Yes.
Yes.
Jones. You know, honey, I think I'm going to let you touch me. One time.
Really?
You like that, didn't you?
Well, would you mind if I did it again?
Sorry, honey. With me, it's touch and go. Don't fight the feeling.
Yeah. Well, I...
It's bigger than the bubble.
Kind of looking forward to the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun with her gone.
Yes, well, there now, Miss Pettigrew. Now, I suppose you two girls have a lot to talk about, so I'll just kind of buzz off. Toodly-doo.
Toodly-doo, honey. Toodly-doo. Toodly-doo.
Hey, come along, Geraldine.
Geraldine? You better wait a minute, Mom. I never gave you permission to call me Geraldine. I'm Miss Jones to you.
All right, Miss Jones.
It's just a little something I threw on.
Well, you didn't throw it far enough.
This is a very expensive outfit, honey. I bet you can't guess how much this cost.
$5.
That was just a lucky guess.
Well, it looks like our time is up. But that's only for this week, because we'll be back next week to make you laugh and to fill you in on Social Security benefits. Live a little and laugh a little. It's laugh time now, so here's Woody Allen.
I was watching one night the, Ed Sullivan show, and Sullivan had on a hypnotist called the Great Ronaldo. And Ronaldo got four guys out of the audience, and he hypnotized them. And he said to them, "You think you're a fire engine." And I'm home watching, and I get drowsy, and I fall asleep. And I wake up an hour later, I turn the set off. And suddenly I'm seized with an uncontrollable impulse to dress up in my red flannel underwear. Which I do when I'm looking at myself in the mirror. And suddenly the phone rings. I burst out the front door and start running down Fifth Avenue fast, making a siren noise. At 14th Street, I hit a guy at an intersection who was also wearing red flannel underwear. Who decided to work as one truck. We start running down to the Village. Suddenly, two guys in red flannel underwear pass us, running uptown. We figure they must know where the fire is. We turn and follow. At 86th Street, a cop flags us down, because there's four guys in red flannel underwear running up the street. He says, "You're coming down to headquarters, get into the car." And I start giggling hysterically, because this jerk is trying to get a fire engine into a lousy little Chevy, you know? And down at the station house, there's hundreds of guys in red flannel underwear. I should just add, parenthetically, these stories are true. These things actually happened to me. I don't make them up. My life is a series of these crises that came on one night some months ago, and I went to the closet in my bedroom, and a moth ate my sport jacket. He was laying on the floor nauseous, you know? It's a yellow and green striped jacket, you know? Little fat moth laying there, groaning, you know? Part of the sleeve hanging out of his mouth. I gave him two plain brown socks. They said, "Eat one now and eat one in a half hour."
Hey, attaboy, Woody. Well, folks, the time is up, but we'll be back next week for Social Security. Tune in. I want to talk to you some more. And remember, love is the word. You want to learn about the game of buck-buck? Well, Bill Cosby will tell you.
Now, we had the champion buck-buck team of the world. When I tell you we played buck-buck, there was nobody that whipped us anywhere, man. And you can tell kids that play a lot of buck-buck because they're built like this, you see. And their legs are only 4 inches long. That's all they have because they've been crushed so much. So we're around there practicing buck-buck number five, playing on each other. Some kids come down from the rough part of town, and they're really tough, man. They got toothpicks on the side of their mouth and a hat on sideways, and they got their pants on backwards, you know, just rebelling against everything, you know. And they said, listen, we're here, you're supposed to be so tough. We challenge you to the buck-buck championship of the world. So we said, all right. Side, line up, turkeys. So we line up, five of us. Whack. They start sending kids down. Buck-buck number one, come in. They feel pretty heavy, man. We check them out. Guys have rocks in their pockets to make them weigh heavier, you know. And buck-buck number two. Now they get up to 300, and it's really heavy. Buck-buck 300, come in. Now they're on top of us, piled all the way up to the sky, and they're rocking back and forth. Hey, whoa, hold on, Harold. I can't do it no more, Kyle. Come on, hold on. Buck-buck 400, come in. We collapsed. All right, how many did you hold? We held 400 of your guys. Well, that was pretty good. But we usually hold around 600. All right, we line up. They line up. Send the first kid down, old weird Harold. All right, Harold. Buck-buck number one, come in. These guys are really cool.
What was that? A mosquito? You guys don't have no weight. Come on, let's go.
Buck-buck number two, come in. I landed.
A piece of paper. Somebody threw a piece of paper on top of me.
Buck-buck number three.
That was nothing. Four. Five. We got the championship. All right, bring out your last man, you turkeys. Come on, bring him out.
Come on out. Fat Albert. Fat Albert was the baddest buck-buck breaker in the world. And he loved to hear us call his name. Fat Albert weighed 2,000 pounds.
All right, Brother Bill, we'll play the game and we'll bear the blame. That about wraps up another show for this week, but we'll be back next week. We'll keep coming back and keep telling you things we think you ought to know. And, of course, we'll have comedy guests from time to time because this is Comedy Time. Bye now. Now, let's loosen up with some funny lines by Lily Tomlin.
All right, girls, settle down. Girls, settle down, girls. Has everybody got their dessert and beverage? Good. Let's move right along to the piece of resistance for this evening. The Telephone Company Annual Employee Awards. Girls, I can't tell you what a richly deserved honor it is for me to stand here and present these awards. For those of us who read our company newsletter, we know that I have received 17 plaques, 4 statuettes, and innumerable citations on real parchment. And let me tell you, they make wonderful decorating accents in any home. Now, girls, the first award this evening is for Miss Voice and Courtesy. It's a biggie. And it goes to the girl who has offended the public the least. The girl who over the past 12 months has received the fewest threats on her life. This award is a low-relief wood carving of our new slimline model. And may I have the envelope, please? Thank you, Vito. And the winner is this year's Miss Voice and Courtesy, Miss Ernest... Miss. Oh, no. No, no, no. This must be a mistake. Phoenicia... See me about this later. Now we'll move right along to the important... Phoenicia, please, I said, talk to me about it later. The grand award this evening is the Miss Bell Tell Cup. Phoenicia, please, sit down, eat your dessert before it all runs together. This award is for bravery beyond the call of duty. This award is a personal directory listing all the names, addresses, and phone numbers of known obscene phone callers and the best hours to reach them. girls, I thank you so much, and I accept this award. I know I didn't call for the envelope, Phoenicia. Some things we know instinctively.
Boy, that time does fly. It has gone again. But we'll be back next week with a little more comedy time and a little more information from Social Security. If you're going away, take your radio with you. I don't like to be alone. I want to talk to you right here next week. This is Nipsey Russell saying goodbye for Comedy Time and for Social Security. Okay, Bill, you ready? Talk to us.
Guys in my neighborhood went to great lengths to scare anybody. Because it's a great thing when you scare somebody. They lose their cool completely. That's the only time when a human being is really himself. I mean, because if you scare somebody good, they just, the legs shoot out, the hair stands up, the eyes bug out, and they say, blah, blah. Yeah, see? And then you laugh. Ah, that was really funny, man. You got so scared. So, guys found the statue. Stole it, really. A statue of Frankenstein, 5 feet, 8 inches tall, in color of the monster. Frankenstein was, ooh. They take it home, and only three of them, take it home, and take it into an apartment building, put it up on the third floor landing, you see. Now they take out all the lights in the hallway, put in the pink one right by the monster statue. One kid gets behind it. They send another one out in the street. He calls a kid. They come running up. He passes the kid with the statue, taps him. Kid with the statue leans it. Ooh. Kid that doesn't know anything about it turns around and kills himself running out of the building. You see, this is called fun. Of course, then you laugh at the guy. Boy, you were really scared, man. You fell 12 places there. That was really funny. So, I'm coming home from the store about 8:30. No, I always have my music with me. I always have to hum my music because monsters cannot attack you if you have your music with you. See?
Hey, Charles! What? Come on over! One step.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Boy, what a story and what a guy. It's a kind of nice show we had this week, huh? Don't you think? I hope you'll tune in again next week for more laughs and more information about your rights and benefits under Social Security. They're a friendly group. Give them a call. And I'll talk to you next week, huh? See you. I said Bobby and Ray were here today. They're here now, and what are they going to say?
This is sportscaster Biff Burns with another edition of Free Game Dugout Dialogues. Today, we're going to chat with a grizzled veteran of some 20 years in the game who's finally retiring, and I refer, of course, to Stuffy Hodgson. Stuffy, how do you feel?
Well, I feel pretty sad, naturally, this being the last day and all. Pretty sad.
Well, I guess that's a reasonable feeling, but all in all, you can't complain. Over the years, the game has been pretty good to you, Stuff.
Well, not as good to me as some of these young punks that are coming along.
Now, I sense a note of rancor there. What do you mean?
Well, like I say, this game passed me by somewhere. I don't know. Now, they get these kids, they have these little radios. going in the locker room all day, playing a bunch of noise. Now, I don't understand that music. Now, whatever happened to the songs of Kate Smith and Pat Boone said? Those guys sang real songs.
Well, I don't know. It's good to see, though, that you've maintained your sense of humor.
You have to.
In fact, Stuffy, you've got a pretty good reputation around the sports banquet circles as a real great guy when it comes to telling a sports story. I wonder if you could give us one of those baseball anecdotes of yours.
Well, sure. I always remember the first time I came up to bat in the big leagues. I was just a kid, and they had this big left-hander out on the hill that day. You remember him?
I think I do, yeah.
Well, he's throwing real smoke that day, see? I couldn't see these pitches at all. So the third strike goes by, and the umpire says, you're out. So I was young and nervous and everything, and I took my bat, and I threw it straight up in the air, see? So the umpire took off his mask, and he came over to me, and he said, young man, I was a young man then. So, young man, if that bat comes down, you're out of the game. The kids don't have jokes and anecdotes like that.
I hate to leave you, but I gotta go. I gotta go for the time being. Of course, you know I'll be right back here next week, and I expect you to meet me here because I've got information for you, and I'll have a new comedy guest to make you laugh because this is Comedy Time from Social Security, and I am Nipsey Russell, who loves you. Well, that's a good matter to consider. And now for some laughing matter.
Well, football players do hair tonic commercials, and I saw actually the first one ever done. And it had a football player and a kid of 17 whose problem was he really had bad hairs, hairs all hanging out all over the place, really weird hair. And they introduced the two together, you know, and they said, is it a football player? This is a little kid. Little kid? This is a football player. Say, you kid, what's wrong with you? So, well, sir, I have bad hair, and I can't get any girls. Yeah, and you're ugly, too. So they did the first commercial. Here's a take one football player. Close up to the football player. He speaks. Here, kid, this is a football. Take it. Now, give it back. Kid. Now get over there. I'm going to show you how to throw it. The ball. Just put your arm right on back like you're seeing it. It's going to let it fly. Now, throw it back to me. Kid. Pick it up first. Now throw it. Nice throwing. Now let us go on into the locker room. So they go into the locker room, the kid showers, he goes in front of the mirror, the comb is there. This is where the plot thickens. Close up to the football player, he speaks. Here! Kid? What the heck are you doing? Get that stuff out your hair! What you need, kid, is some good old whatever it is.
Well, we just bit off another chunk of Comedy Time, and it was all brought to you by the good folks at Social Security. We'll be back again. We'll be back next week. More funny and some more important information about your rights and your benefits under Social Security. Benefits that can mean security for you and your family in the future. So listen to us next week when we come back, right? Think about us in the meantime and call Social Security. Okay, now, here comes Woody to tickle your funny bone.
I shot a moose once. I was hunting upstate New York, and I shot a moose. And I strap him onto the fender of my car. And I'm driving home along the West Side. But what I didn't realize was that the bullet did not penetrate the moose. It just creased the scalp, knocking him unconscious. And I'm driving through the Holland Tunnel, and the moose woke up. So I'm driving with a live moose on my fender. And the moose is signaling for a turn, you know. And there's a law in New York State against driving with a conscious moose on your fender Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And I'm very panicky. And then it hits me. Some friends of mine are having a costume party. I'll go. I'll take the moose. I'll ditch him at the party. It wouldn't be my responsibility. So I drive up to the party, and I knock on the door. The moose is next to me. My host comes to the door. I say, hello. You know the Solomons. We enter. The moose mingles. Did very well. Scored. Some guy was trying to sell him insurance for an hour and a half. 12 o'clock comes. They give out prizes for the best costume of the night. First prize goes to the Berkowitzes. A married couple dressed as a moose. The moose comes in second. The moose is furious. He and the Berkowitzes lock antlers in the living room. They knock each other unconscious. Now I figure here's my chance. I grab the moose, strap him to my fender, and shoot back to the woods. But I got the Berkowitzes. There's a law in New York State. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and especially Saturdays. The following morning, the Berkowitzes wake up in the woods in a moose suit. Mr. Berkowitz is shot, stuffed, and mounted at the New York Athletic Club. And the joke is on them because it's restricted.
Well, 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 well. Looks like that's it. Time to go. Parting is such sweet sorrow, but it's not so bad when we know that we'll be getting together again next time for some more fun and some more information about how Social Security can help you and your family. Till then, this is your buddy, Nipsey Russell, saying take care. Right now, I do believe that Mr. Bill Cosby, I can't attest to his dignity, is trying to tell us something.
All right. There are 23 million karate schools, really, in Greenwich Village, New York City. But the big thing about it is before you break a brick or a rock, you must condition your hands. And you have to keep hammering away at a brick or a rock, wham, 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 until a big slab of callus forms at the side of your hand. Your hand starts to look like a foot. Don't laugh. This is good, because you keep your hand in your pocket for about 9 days, and if some guy attacks you, you take a swing at him, and even if you miss, the smell will kill him. So. What you have to do, though, is you have to just keep hammering away. Wham, wham, wham. And you do this because it's very important. You can break a brick or a stick. Because if you're ever held up, some guy will say, give me your dough. You just turn around, break a brick, pull, stick, then give him your dough. Here you are. Thanks a lot for the money in the show, fella. But before you break a brick, you have to go give off a loud shout, see? This causes your glands to secrete and your froth at the mouth is, see? And then if you miss the guy, you can bite his leg. I figure, if a guy's going to hold me up, where is he? He's down a dark street. Why? Because he's nervous. He doesn't want any trouble. All he wants is my money. Here I come down a dark street. Why? Because I'm stupid. But I know the shout. And the guy, I'll put a gun in my back, says, give me your dough. I just turn around quick. I read the back of this magazine in a very nice movement. It says, if you're ever walking down the street and a guy puts a gun in your back, go into your front pocket, tighten up on your elbow, and you whip around hard and fast, catch the guy right up in the forehead. This knocks him back, you turn around, grab the door, pick up the gun, march him right off to jail. Now, this is a good move. And I went home and I practiced this on my brother. And I wiped him out. I got so good I would walk down nothing but dark streets with $10 bills hanging out of my pocket. And it happened. Give me your dough.
went into my pocket, tightened up, whip, turned around. It was a midget.
As always, it seems that our time together here has just flown right by. But have no fear. I'll be here to bring you the latest from the greatest funny men and the greatest people, my friends at Social Security. Till next time, this is Nipsey Russell saying, take it easy. And while you're calling, we're going to hear something funny from Bob Newhart. Talk to us, Bob.
There's a logical explanation for why I don't fly. I took a non-scheduled airline one time. I was in the Army, and I wanted to go to Hawaii on a 3-day pass, see? But I didn't have a lot of money, and they were running ads at the time, and one ad read, "Take a chance on the Mrs. Grace L. Ferguson Airline and Storm Door Company," see? So, it gave an address, and I went out to this address, and it was this woman's home. And then we all got in her Volkswagen, and she drove us out to the airport. We got aboard this DC-1. After we were out about 2 hours, a captain came out. He gave one of those addresses they all give. And I'll never forget it, and this is why I don't fly anymore. It came out like this. "You're the navigator. You ought to be able to figure out where they are." "Good evening. I'd like to welcome you aboard the Mrs. Grace L. Ferguson Airline and Storm Door Company. I don't know how much you know about our airlines. We've only been in business about a week. Our airline was founded on the philosophy that what the American public was really looking for was a low-cost overseas transportation. We have attempted to eliminate what we call in the airline business frills and extras, like maintenance and radar and... Incidentally, I want to apologize for your having to stand all the way. If I can give you a little tip there, every half hour or so, you want to alternate your arms through those straps above your head. You folks flying tourists, you don't have any straps.
Woe is me. The time allotted for this get-together has elapsed. I hope you had a good time, as good a time as I did. And I hope you'll be with us again next week. A few more smiles and some more news about Social Security. Until then, hang loose. Well, that was my tip on tips. Did you ever hear anybody say, "You just said the magic word"? Well, we got a few magic words now from Groucho Marx.
Lydia, oh, Lydia, say, have you met her? La, 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 la. When a robe is unfurled, she will show you the world. If you step up and tell her where, for a dime you can see Kankakee or Paris or Washington crossing the Delaware. La 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 la. Oh Lydia, oh Lydia, say have you met Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady. When her muscles start relaxing, up the hill comes Andrew Jackson. That encyclopedia, Lydia the Queen of Tattoo. For 2 bits she will do a mazurka in jazz, with a view of Niagara that nobody has.
And on a clear day you can see Alcatraz. You can learn the law from idiots.
La, 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 la.
Come along and see Buffalo Bill with his class. Just a little classic by Mendel Picasso. Here's Captain Spaulding exploring the Amazon. Here's Godiva, but with her pajamas on.
La 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 la.
Oh Lydia, oh Lydia, say have you met Lydia? Lydia, the queen of them all. She once swept an admiral clear off his feet. The ships on her hips made his heart skip a beat. And now the old boy's in command of the fleet. For he went and married Lydia. I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
Oh, hey!
And as we say here now, the time has passed. But I'll see you around next time. I'll be back soon for some more information and some more good jokes. Jokes about everything and information about Social Security. Till then, I'm Nipsey Russell. Stay well. And now let's go and pay a nice neighborly visit to those zany and zippy pals, Bob and Ray.
How are you, Larry?
Yes, it's another Larry Loughborough show, and as I promised, I have a famous Broadway actor as guest. Last night, a new play opened on Broadway called The Tender T-Bone. And it starred the veteran of stage, screen, radio, television, the orchestra world, Barry Campbell. Incidentally, the play closed last night, too. Let's give a big welcome, nevertheless, to a great guy, Barry Campbell.
I was quite impressed with that edible food package story. I was thinking that would be a great boon for actors on the road.
I don't know. I hadn't heard about it. I wanted to ask you about that title, Tender T-Bone. Is that something out of Shakespeare or what?
No, it's a love story that takes place in the Chicago stockyards. And since the stockyards are now closed, it's more or less a period piece.
And you had been rehearsing for some 4 or 5 months for this?
Since April. And intensive rehearsals since August, yes.
This was the first Broadway show in which you attempted to dance?
Yes, that's true.
I say attempted because one of the critics this morning pointed out in his review that you stumbled across the stage much in the manner of a bull in a china shop. I think that's how he expressed it.
He has a real flair for words. Actually, what happened was this. I tripped on a small scatter rug just inside the foyer of the girl's apartment.
This is the girl you play opposite, the love interest?
I'm supposed to win the girl, but I've developed such a feeling toward her that I couldn't go through with any of the kissing or the hugging or anything.
You mean you really had an honest dislike for her?
Well, I think it was because we were together so much. By the time the curtain went up last night, I couldn't stand the sight of her.
Well, that must have thrown the other actors off a little bit, didn't it?
Well, not as much as when I forgot my lines.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, too. This same critic pointed out a little further along in his review that there was a time there in the second act when, for some 20 or 30 minutes, no one said a word.
I really wish I could stay, but I really got to go. Our time is up for this time, but I'll stop by again, and I'll bring you a smile. I'll also bring you some great advice from my friends and yours at Social Security. Till then, this is Nipsey Russell, and I love you.
¶¶
Now here's Woody Allen and the Nuttiness.
Thank you. This is my third night here. I haven't been here in about 8 months now, was the last time I was here. And since I was here last, a lot of significant things have occurred in my private life that I thought we could go over tonight and evaluate. I moved. Let me start right at the very beginning. I formerly lived in Manhattan, uptown east in a brownstone building, but I was constantly getting mugged and assaulted and sadistically beaten about the face and neck. So I moved into a doorman apartment house on Park Avenue that's rich and secure and expensive and great. And I lived there for 2 weeks. And my doorman attacked me. I was also out to Hollywood since I was here last. I played a room called the Crescendo in Hollywood, California. And I ran into my ex-wife, who I did not recognize, with her wrists closed. She's a fabulous lady, however. See, the Museum of Natural History found her shoe based on the measurements. They reconstructed a dinosaur. I don't know what else has happened. Oh, I know. I became a corporation since I was here the last time. Last year I had difficulty with my income tax. I tried to take my analyst off as a business deduction. You know, the government said that it was entertainment. You know. We compromised finally and made it a religious contribution. You know. And I formed a corporation this year, and I'm the president. My mother's vice president, and my father's secretary, and my grandmother's treasurer. My uncle's on the board of directors. And they got together the first week, and they tried to squeeze me out. I phoned the power block with my uncle, and he sent my grandmother to jail. So she's learning a trade, I'm happy to say.
Well, too bad, friends, but I see our time is up again. You know I'll be here, and I want you to join me next time for another Comedy Time from the good people at Social Security. Till then, it's Nipsey Russell wishing you laughter, wishing you love, wishing you health. I think it's about time we heard some cheerful words from Woody Allen. Woody, tell us what's on your mind.
Thank you. Really, I don't know what I'm going to do, because the guy before me did everything that I was going to do. So. My hair curls up on the West Coast. It's amazing. Straight in New York, it falls in flaxen locks. Oh, that's interesting. I think I will review for you some of the outstanding features of my private life and put them in perspective. And then we'll have a brief question and answer period and evaluate them. Now, let me start at the very beginning. I did a vodka ad. That's the first important thing. A big vodka company wanted to do a prestige ad. They tried to get Laurence Olivier and Halle Loki. And they finally got me to do that. I'll tell you how they got my name. It was on a list in Eichmann's pocket when they picked him up. And I'm sitting home one night, I'm watching television. I'm watching a special version of Peter Pan on television, starring Kate Smith, you know? I'm having trouble flying her because the chains keep breaking all the time, you know? And the phone rings, and a voice on the other end says, "How would you like to be this year's vodka man?" And I said, no. I'm an artist. I do not do commercials. I don't panda. I don't drink vodka. And if I did, I wouldn't drink your product. And he said, too bad. It pays $50,000. And I said, hold on. I'll put Mr. Allen on the phone. And I was caught here in an ethical crisis. Should I advertise a product that I don't actually use is the problem, because I'm not a drinker. My body will not tolerate spirits, really. I had two martinis New Year's Eve. I'm going to hijack an elevator and fly it to Cuba.
Okay, friends, that's it. Remember the things I told you, and if you forget, call Social Security and they'll tell you again. I'll be back soon, another time around, with a few more smiles and some more good information from Social Security. Till then, I'm Nipsey Russell, and I love you. Want to have some fun? Listen to this.
The Neanderthal man. Now, let's think back. Now, today we know what to eat. You go into a restaurant or you go into your home and you say, what's for dinner? Let's have spaghetti. Let's have steak. Let's have some meat, you know. Now, a caveman couldn't say that because he didn't know anything about eating meat. He didn't know anything. He was just out there, you know, just right out there. Hey, I am a caveman and I'm out here, you know, that kind of thing. So I figure the only thing that they knew how to eat, you know, like the bushes were there for them. So they just eat bushes every day, bushes. And they must have gotten tired of bushes, you know, because, oh, this is rotten. These bushes, they're the worst bush I've ever had in my life. See, and don't eat that bush because you'll get a rash from it. It'll make you break right out. It's terrible, you know. And, get the bush, and, you know, guys, oh, boy, thanks. You know, any guy would go home from a hard day's work or doing something, you know, and he'd say, what's for dinner? Bushes. Oh, well, I'll die first. I'd rather die than eat bushes, you know. So then they had to go out and get something else. So some guy says, hey, why don't we try meat? And the guy says, okay. So then that's when they went out. But now they must have made a couple of mistakes, see. They must have attacked the wrong animals. So we see, basking away in the sun, two saber-toothed tigers. And one tiger talks to the other. Hey, Arnold. Yeah? Don't look now. But over your right shoulder, there's a Neanderthal man sneaking up behind him. And he's got a stick in his hand. And he's gonna hit one of us. Say what? That's the same nut that hit me behind the ear with a rock and run yesterday. You know, they killed Ralphie yesterday. Ralphie? Who's Ralphie? You know Ralphie, that weird saber-toothed tiger, lives over the hill. He only has one saber, and he growls with a lisp. Says, Arsh. They killed him yesterday. Oh, that's terrible. Yep. Then they cut his fur off and they threw him in the fire. Oh, that's horrible. Yeah, and then they drug him out of the fire and they ate him. What a bunch of savages. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's get up and start growling and making a whole bunch of noise. All right? What's he doing now? He's eating bushes. That's what he's doing.
Doggone, I've got to close up shop again. But just for the day, I'll be back soon. I'll be back with a few words from Social Security and a few laughs from our mirthmakers. Till I see you again, this is Nipsey Russell saying bye now. And now, Bob Newhart.
Now, I'd like to have your picture, if you would. This is a car. I'm the driving instructor, and seated next to me is a woman driver. How do you do? You're Mrs. Webb, is that right? Oh, I see you've had one lesson already. Who is the instructor on that, Mrs. Webb? Mr. Adams. I'm sorry, here it is, Mr. Adams. Just let me read ahead and kind of familiarize myself with the case. How fast were you going when Mr. Adams jumped from the car? 75? And where was that? In your driveway. How far has Mr. Adams gotten in the lesson? Backing out. I see you were backing out at 75, and that's when he jumped. Did he cover starting the car and the other way of stopping? What's the other way of stopping? Throwing it in reverse. That's right. Oh, that would do it. You're right. That would do it. All right. You want to start the car? Mrs. Webb, you just turned on the lights. You want to start the car? They all look alike, don't they? I don't know why they design them that way. All right, let's pull out into traffic. Now, what's the first thing we're going to do before we pull out into traffic? What did Mr. Adams do before he let you pull out into traffic? Well, I mean, besides praying, let's say. No, what I had in mind was checking the rearview mirror. You see, we always want to check the rear... Don't pull out! please don't cry. I'm sorry. But there was this bus, Mrs. Webb. All right, the lane is clear now. You want to pull out and gradually ease it into second? Well, I didn't want to cover reverse this early. But as long as you've shifted into it, of course you're nervous. Now, I'm nervous. I'm not just saying that. I'm really very nervous. Well, just don't pay any attention to their honking. You're doing fine. You're not blocking anyone's lane. No, as long as you're here on the safety island, you're not blocking anyone's lane.
Time. We have no more time, but there'll be more time next time for comedy time. And when comedy time comes again, it'll bring you some more laughs and some more information from our friends at Social Security. Till then, tally-ho. Do you know Pasquale Caputo? You might not think so, but that's Pat Cooper's real name. And here he is to tell you some other funny things about his life.
The moon is high, the lights are low, and there are six little words I want you to know.
You don't have to be Italian.
And put away the wine press. We're not gonna drink tonight.
You don't have to cook linguine. You don't have to wash my hair.
You don't have to be Italian. Let's just say it wouldn't hurt. I've waited so long for this moment, and now at last we're alone. Oh, I'd much rather taste your lips than my mother's minestrone.
You don't have to cook the goose. Can't you read my inner
soul? You are one girl in a million. You don't have to be
Sicilian.
My sweet Maria
Schwartz. You don't have to be
Italian. You just have to be a girl. You are one girl in a million. You don't have to be Sicilian.
Okay, folks, I think that's it for right now. But only for right now. Because as I always do, I shall return. I'll return with more laughter. I'll return with more love and more information from our good friends at Social Security. Cheerio!
The theme is sports. That's what this album is all about. It has to do with guys who have played, guys who wanted to play and couldn't play and didn't play. It covers all these areas because I was all of that. I just want you women to remember one thing. You think you have something that men can do without. It's a lie. Because I will tell you this straight to your face, that a good case of Jock Rash is better than a good woman. I will tell you that now. There are times when we were out on the battlefield and we just kept ourselves from scratching because we knew when we did scratch it was going to be good. Many times I put off scratching for maybe 3-4 days because I knew that when I touched it, I'd So anytime you women get highfalutin, just think of, what is Jock Rash? He won't tell you. But it's so beautiful you can't describe it. Only Fels Napa can wipe it out. First off, is the fact that a lot of men lie. Most of them do. 90% of the men lie. If you've never seen him play anything, if he begins to tell you stories about how he scored the winning touchdown, he lies. Because ain't that many cats ever scored the winning touchdowns. Ain't that many cats ever scored touchdowns. Ain't that many cats ever made the field. First of all, you can't play but 11 people. And secondly, there are a lot of guys that's got to be on the 5th and 16th that never gets to play unless there's an absolute slaughter on either side. I know because I played on the 9th team. On the 19th, I was the only fullback that weighed 154 pounds. I outweighed some of our linemen. On the 19th, the only dudes on the 19th, and you had to have 9 teams in Philadelphia because the counselors at the school said if some of these kids don't make the team, they will kill themselves and all that. So that, these are the guys I played with, the guys who would kill themselves because their fathers played football before them and they had to be on the football team. So they put them on the 19 to hold the dummies. A lot of them wore glasses. Most of them were rejects from remedial gym. All you had to do to get a D in remedial gym was just stand in front of whatever you had to do. So you just stand there in front of the parallel body as a D, go away. If you played on the 19th, of course you held the dummies. And it was very important. It's important to the first team that you be in the right place at the right time because many of the linemen really don't know what to do if you're out of place. The coach, why didn't you hit him? Well, he wasn't there. The linemen get upset about that, you see. And besides, they never know the fullback's plays. When you break out of the huddle and you say, what, where was I supposed to, where am I? I don't know. All I know is I have this guy here. I played for Germantown High School, and one of the greatest moments for me was when we'd break out of the tunnel. I was always the first person out there, and I got all the cheers because I was first. I broke the paper. They had this big paper around the circle. And all my boys from off my corner said, did you see Cod break that paper, man? Yay, Cod broke the bravery. And that brother sit down on a bench and never be seen again. And my boys used to root for me. Send Cars in the game! And the coach never paid any attention to him. But I was always ready, man. I was ready for any position he called out. If he wanted me to play tackle, I would play that and score a touchdown. I'm telling you. No, when you play on the 19, you ain't got nothing to lose, man. I go on the tackle, and I knew, you know, they give the ball, and I'd steal it from my own man and run for the team, man. But now, what's he going to do, put me on the 10th team? So I steal the ball, make a hero out of myself. So I'm sitting there on the bench. He got the helmet in my hand. Most of my boys off my corner ran cross-country, which takes a lot of guts to me. I mean, to run 2.5 miles to make yourself throw up. That's, you come in with fly hanging off. Girls never watched cross-country runners. I know they were never at the finish line. They couldn't take it. Oh, yeah. So, I was sitting on the edge of the bench. Now, this is a true story, man. Everybody will tell you a story about how they scored a winning TD. You listen to this one. I'm sitting there holding my helmet, and the guys, my boys, behind me, put Cotton in the game! Put Cotton in the game! Let him call the toss! Do anything! You don't have to play, just let him call the toss! Ball game's going up and down the field, and I couldn't believe it. Coach turned around, you know, high school coach, go! Look out, America! Look out! And when he said that, all the guys on my corner stood up and said, what? Did I call Cosby? I jumped up with the helmet in my hand. I said, okay, coach, I'm ready to go, man. Tackle, fullback, I don't care what you call him. We'll score something out there. Could you give me your jersey? Did you give me what? Did you give me your jersey? Hurry up, take it off. Johnson just ripped his jersey. So I took off my jersey. 13 degrees below zero. Took off my jersey. I gave it to him. I went and sat back down on a bench. My skin stuck to the metal bench. And then I started to root for my jersey. Said, go ahead, Jersey, get a TD. Get my jersey scored. Then I started rooting for Johnson's pants because I was afraid that was next.